Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Boys, it's nice up here in Mountainton, by the way.
Oh, yeah? Ooh.
Let me tell you. I ran into Rory Flenderson the other day selling preserves on the side of the road.
You had to help him, his shelves were overflowing with preserves.
Yeah. Flenderson jams. Step I don't up, know. Up. I couldn't think of a Flenderson. What's a jam-based Toby joke? Or Flenderson joke?
Oh, you like marmalade? That's Rory's jam.
Okay, thank you.
Out of paper, out of stock, there's friendly faces around the block. Break loose from the chains that are causing you pain. Call Michael and Stanley, Jim Dwight Creed, call Andy and Kelly for your business paper needs. Or Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people.
Hello and welcome to the Michael Scott Podcast Company, a show for fans of The Office by fans of The Office. I'm your host and somebody who didn't pick a job title before starting this, Sean Roney.
And I'm Edwin James Pepperoni Tony.
And with us, as always, our producer in the warehouse, Mr. Alex Ward.
I am not in the warehouse. I am in the beautiful hills of Mountainton, Colorado. Actually, I'm in Breckenridge, but I'm currently traveling, so no drops. Sorry, everyone, but I'm just on a laptop here. But it's good to see your faces, guys.
Good to have you with us still.
Yeah. Thank you for joining us.
I went snow tubing yesterday.
What is that? Snow tubing?
Snow tubing?
You in an inner tube on the snow.
Oh, gotcha.
You've never...
yes, I know.
I know that your experience with snow is like falling down on your skis in front of everyone on the entire hill.
So wait, so
but you
didn't
could
bring,
also just go tubing.
You didn't bring your toboggan then?
I could only have one piece of check luggage, and it was toboggan or clothes. I went clothes.
Okay,
no, cowardly choice.
Well, every week we get together and talk about our favorite show, NBC's The Office. This week, we'll be doing an episode. We'll finish it off with a conference room and some trivia as we do. This week, we are talking Lecture Circuit, Parts 1 and 2, Season 5, Episodes 16 and 17, directed by Ken Kwapis, written by Mindy Kaling.
Quap, quap.
Part 1 aired on February 5th, 2009, and Part 2 aired the next week, February 12th, 2009. In this episode, we got Michael and Pam are on a Dunder Mifflin lecture circuit, and they visit Karen in Utica and Nashua, but they miss Holly, only to meet Holly's new boyfriend. Jim and Dwight struggle to plan a birthday party for Kelly. And Andy creepily pursues an attractive client in the office, and Angela gets a new cat. I think that's about everything.
Does it for us this week. We'll see.
See you next time. Enjoy the show.
Hey, with Alex on the road this week, we did obviously we wanted to put something out this week, but we also think it's kind of fun when one of us is traveling, or there was that one where we were all camping. It's always puts a unique spin on these episodes. We can do them when we're out in the world.
Well, yeah.
When we did the one camping, I think we did like, we pitched like reunion ideas.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right? I think that was the episode we did there, because we kind of were having a reunion with a bunch of friends. And then Edwin went on a cruise, so we talked about Boo's cruise.
That's right.
And I am on the road, not technically for work, but still on the road.
And working.
And I'm in Colorado where Holly and Michael settled down. So whatever. We'll do something about that.
There you go. Lecture Circuit, a great episode.
It's a thin theme. It always has a theme. It always has theme. A theme.
A method to the madness. I think maybe we'll start with the main story arc, Michael and Pam on the road. Ma'am. Pam is Michael's chauffeur, because he needs one, I guess. he's always riding in the back of the car.
When the first time they get in the car is like the first time, like the door's already open for the cameraman, and they have it like the way they're sitting is how they, if you've ever seen The Amazing Race, there's a lot of it's a reality show. There's a lot of footage in that of two people in a car while they're driving. The cameraman always sits in the passenger seat and the two always sit driver's seat and then behind.
Then that, I guess then that way you can,
it's the only time
them.
We see this.
Yeah,
exactly. It's so you can see both their faces, but in this, usually in The Office, we get shots where it's just from behind the two of them and you see through the windshield.
Yeah, and we've seen...
Or the dash cam footage.
Yeah, and there's been dash cams before. So.
There isn't Diwali when Michael has to sit in the back when Pam gives him a ride home.
Is Pam like the... Well, Michael can only ride in my car in the back from now on?
Dwight will sit in the back for safety.
Yes. Driver always protects their side
first.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whenever it's like the dash cam, I don't know why, it's just so much funnier. Maybe it's because it's a slight fisheye lens and there's just something about the way it looks that they must have been like, no, let's not do that for this. It's too funny, because like him and Pam have a lot of, you know, they get to some real talk there in the car.
It feels like raw footage when they show the dash cam sort of view.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, it's a right away, the motivations for each of them doing it are very different, where Michael is, you know, feeling like he's the star of Dunder Mifflin, who's been told to go visit branches. And Pam's like, oh, yeah, I love it. Also, I'm getting time and a half 24 hours a day, good for you, Pam. Go get that paper.
Crazy. Yeah.
I do love when Michael is teeing up the adventure. He tries all these different jokes and opening lines, about being off like a herd of turtles. Whenever you give Michael that runway, he likes to try two or three. It's similar to Phyllis's wedding.
Comes into the story, just them walking out of the motel too. Like there's no them leaving the office, no goodbyes. It's just like joining them.
I love that line. Back in the before times when you'd go to maybe a restaurant with a group of people and then to some bar after that, I love to drop the and we're off like a herd of turtles.
Pam and I have eloped. Actually, we just robbed a bank. We were on the limb. No, seriously, I'm on a lecture circuit. it is funny that Michael similar to the way that Dwight says you expect to be buttled, Michael expects to be assisted. He expects to be catered to, you know. That's part of the dynamic he always has with the receptionist, whether it's Pam or Aaron as well.
Yeah, or Rolando.
Yes.
I do love Rolando.
Michael,
I think we've mentioned it before, but I love that, like, you can tell that Rolando knows Michael.
Yeah, by reputation.
Hello, Michael.
It is one of the best just single line deliveries by a small character in the show, is the way he just goes, hi.
Yeah.
Just like.
Well, and, you know, Michael introduces Pam to Rolando, but Rolando and Pam have already met in Branch Wars. When Jim comes back to the office, Pam says, Rolando told me everything.
Oh.
They don't acknowledge it because they move Mike because they're late and they move right into the conference room. But I do think it's really
important. It is funny to think of the cabal of receptionists who all get together and trade gossip. So funny.
Do think it's really important that Pam is there for Michael, because she's got to be there to catch him, especially when he falls. Michael, why are you on the floor? She has to be there to pick him up. It's hard to imagine what a sort of train wreck spiral running out of amok thing would happen if Pam was not there in Nashua when Michael finds out.
Oh my God.
Lord. Well,
it would be so funny.
You know, what's interesting though, is would he have gone? It was not part of the itinerary to go to Nashua. And it is because Pam is there with him that she sees Karen and has this, cathartic, you know, moment with her where, you know, everything's okay and everyone's happy for each other. And she says, I got closure because of that. Because of course, Karen is married now and is having a kid. And then all of a sudden that makes Michael start to think, I want closure, because I never got closure with, do you remember Holly?
Yeah.
Nice boobs, not too big, not too small.
The Michael Scott train of thought would really be like, I should get a kid. That would be
yeah, right.
That would be his A to Z thinking.
Yeah, I should get a hot dog costume and go to a bar.
I'm gonna be a father.
I do remember very clearly when this episode aired, the ad that was like promoting this episode, it was like this week on The Office, and then they just showed Karen walking in pregnant. And then, but they didn't show the reveal, which is in the episode. Michael asks immediately, is it Jim's? But dude, no, of course not.
That's like one of the underrated, yeah, cringiest scenes in this show is that scene. And the immediate change on Rashida Jones's face. Is that Jim's? No. Oh, my God. I'm sorry. My mind. And then he's just like, I'm just trying to figure out the last time you and Jim had sex.
He can't let it go.
And it's like,
yeah.
And then as he walks by the camera, he does a little like, dead.
Oh my Lord.
Well, and he doesn't let it go either.
No.
He keeps bringing it up at inappropriate times.
Yeah.
I know. And it's like, this is a real, this scene between the two of them is wrapping up, basically wrapping up Karen's entire arc on this show.
Yes. Karen, do you need to pump? I'll do that after the baby comes. I am wondering what this has to do with anything.
You have to imagine too, like, how many characters do we get? I guess Ryan is maybe the only other kind of example of this, of where they're, you know, Michael is their manager, and then later they're on equal or greater footing with them on the corporate structure. I mean, Karen says, you know, it turns out this job's pretty easy when your boss is an idiot and your boyfriend is in love with someone else. And as she says off the record to David Wallace, he would be a disaster. So now that she's seeing eye to eye with Michael, she can kind of say, nope, this is over. I'm going to just listen to an email.
Yeah, I think Utica looks like a pretty professional, calm work environment. I think Karen's done a good job there.
But with worse sales than Dunder Mifflin's Crown.
That's true. Crazy. Well, we get the first iteration of this lecture, Utica, and then as we said, they choose to go to Nashua, where everything falls apart. That's one of my favorite Pam moments, I think, just her trying to, it's like supportive of Michael. Mm-hmm. But also just like the fear of all of a sudden being standing in front of a group of people being expected to deliver some speech or performance. I love that she's like, I'm just trying to, what does she do?
Bridge the gap between what just happened and the fact that I will be finishing the presentation.
Oh, I have a chainsaw.
Oh,
who do you think, does a better chainsaw noise, Andy or Pam?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, definitely Andy.
Andy captures the cadence. Pam has the physical chainsaw, so.
Yes.
But that's later at Nashua, right?
That's at Nashua. One. Yeah.
Right. Prepare yourself for the Utica chainsaw.
I just wanted to shout out the Michael Scott-ism when they're going into Utica and Pam says, point at the sign. And instead of just pointing, Michael kind of gets down and
presents the two-hand flourish. Yeah.
It's such a little Michael Scott thing.
It's more subdued when they're in Nashua.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's nervous. Very. He's like, he's thinking about other things.
We meet Rob Hubel at Nashua. That's fun. Mm-hmm. Plays AJ. Did you guys ever watch...
My That's right. Yeah. We've had people tell us that Alex sounds just like Holly's boyfriend.
Yeah. Whatever.
I can hear it. I hear it a little.
You peed on my face, friend. That's from a different
That's
movie.
Right. That's about. I Love You, Man, right?
That's from I Love You, Man.
Because
hey, I recognize you. Yeah, you do. You peed on my face, friend.
Because he prints his face on urinals as advertisements.
He does his ad in urinal cakes. Yeah.
Did you ever, and I don't know if you know, listeners at home know about this. Did you guys ever watch Human Giant, the sketch comedy show? Because it's Rob Hubel, Aziz Ansari, and Paul Scheer. Is that his name? Yeah.
And then the director, Jason Wallner, went on to do a lot of stuff, too.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I just want to shout that show out because I was in love with Human Giant in in high school. They have great
Shutterbugs.
Shutterbugs, yes. Yeah, look up Shutterbugs sometime. That's some of Rob Hubel's best work and Aziz's. Anyways, though, we get Michael. Holly's not there, so Michael instead cuts a sleeve off of her sweater and steals a file off of her computer called Dear Michael.
With the same USB stick I used to have with the little slide out button, and it glows when you plug it in. And the camera really has to linger there just to like make sure that's like, this is what's going on. This is how things used to be. That's how you watch it now. To get
you
a file.
You can tell Michael is so much on like a tightrope as he's walking in, and then she's not there.
Yeah.
He gets kind of pushed off, and then Pam brings him back up, and he tries to do the presentation, but it falls apart so quickly. He talks himself into a hole and then just collapses onto the floor. How does it feel? Your life.
From walking in, from when he like walks in, you know, and you can see him kind of scanning, like maybe I'll see Holly, and then hi, oh, it's Holly Flax. He's very nervous, and like it just goes from that, and right away it's like, oh, she's not here. She's gone for 3 days, but you could talk to her boyfriend, and it's just like, and he's completely done. And yeah, you're right. We get to see the worst / best version of Michael Scott, which is totally despondent.
The progression of Michael like being at his comedic best and giving his show, and then the slow downward spiral to the train wreck is something we don't get to see all the time. It reminds me a little bit of when Michael when Jim convinces Michael to make fun of himself too far. Great idea, man.
I
also really love leading up to this, the way that Michael dismisses Pam and Jim's relationship as like nothing that really has any depth to it. And it's just like a million times what you and Jim have. It's like, Pam, this is serious. Pam, like,
I'm going through something.
He's like, he's just such a horrible person sometimes, and he's so completely clueless.
What a perfect flip of the Jim and Dwight stairwell scene from Money, where Jim, you know, gives that speech to Dwight, and then he walks away, and then Dwight reaches out for him, not knowing he's gone. Versus this, where Pam tries to comfort Michael, and Michael just shuts her down
completely.
Pam, I'm going through something. Okay. It's so funny.
It is funny how often like the characters in the show just kind of discount or forget their relationship, Jim and Pam's relationship as a good. That's still going on?
That's still going on?
Yes. Mm-hmm. But then I guess it wraps up with, we're jumping around a little bit, but it wraps up with, I love as they leave Nashua, we get the inverse of everyone in the office looking down on the parking lot as someone leaves, where it's Michael and Pam. Don't look up. Yeah.
And then they go
to that diner. Do you want some pie? No, I went through Holly's things.
I stole a sleeve of her sweater.
What?
I love Pam's reaction.
Trying to play it cool. Yeah, and he's like, I know it was wrong. I know. And stealing the sleeve is really creepy. That's just odd. Because I don't think Holly's going to connect that dot. But
exactly.
Like, no one saw him do it, and she has no idea. He's just like, there's someone cut a piece of my sleeve. But it's maybe she's like
that happens to her a lot. People drop Woody in the garbage and pour coffee on him.
Is it people or is it Michael?
Oh, I guess it is Michael.
It's person. Yeah,
but to her, that's all. It always feels like, who's doing this to me? Oh my gosh. Well, any other thoughts on Michael and Pam's storyline here? I want to
Some people have talked about Pam reading the note and kind of being dismissive. What? I'm not in love with her as kind of a negative thing for Pam. Do you guys feel that way?
No. I mean, we just watched 40 minutes of Pam having Michael's back no matter what. So I think it's on trend with that behavior. I also, people really do kind of just like, there's so many things said about Holly, like Jim, like Holly is kind of a dork, and like Aaron, of course, thinks she's a 16 out of a 40. And
I don't get it.
I'm waiting for my boss's pretty friend. Oh, you're Holly.
So, I mean, and of course, Kevin hates her because she used to think that he was mentally challenged and ate the sweets on the way on the road. So, I mean, I almost think it's kind of this funny recurring joke that people are like, eh. Like, to the person that makes Michael happy and is a perfect fit for him. So I don't know. It's never really looked bad for Pam for me, for her to say that.
Yeah, I don't think so either. And Michael and Pam's relationship, I think she also knows the fallout of like what happens if Michael has no hope and how long they have to drive home. I looked it up. It's like, we're talking a 4.5 hour drive from Utica to Nashua and then back to Scranton. I mean,
that's
this
a long
is
time. It's a long time to just sing a song in your head.
I know. And Michael's like, I need Silence or Sam Kinison to prepare. we could just talk. And she's like, no. But I do want to also at the end of this, on the way back, I love the theme that, because this happens in Dead I Stutter, but Michael, whenever he has a moment of true catharsis, he immediately wants to keep chasing it and just like, he wants to stay there. Cause at the end he's like, we should go apologize to Roy. Just like, no. And then he's like, or that fat guy insulted. And he does the whole pepperoni Tony thing. And and Did I Stutter at the end of that, when he's like, everyone out with Phyllis, you know, like he's like, hey, this really works for me. I'm going to keep doing this.
That's a good point. Yeah.
I referenced earlier when Michael starts making fun of himself and then it ends with him saying too far. But in the middle of that, they're trying to stop him. He goes, no, we're having fun. And it's this beautiful little like pinpoint of clarity from Michael where he's actually able to have fun and make everyone laugh around him because he's making fun of himself, and it goes away immediately. but I guess, you know, from as far as the same, camping goes,
same thing here when he just does the fat thing. It's just so uncomfortable.
Yeah,
it goes on for so long.
And later, when I am ruining everything, you are going to wish I was on your side. I really enjoy, I think of it less as a character trait for Pam, as more of just an interesting writing decision for the season, because season begins with weight loss followed by employee transfer, and then it ends with company picnic. And this is a nice midpoint for the writers to kind of say, hey, this isn't over yet. There's still reason to hope.
Yeah.
And they do it in kind of a curt, interesting way, which I kind of like.
And structurally, like one of the only, like we get a sort of a cliffhanger and a to be continued, which is, which is jarring when you're just binging The Office and suddenly it's like, whoa, am I watching Lost? What's going on?
That would be a good point for Netflix to, or I guess it's not on Netflix anymore, to jump in and be like, hey, are you still watching? Yes. But let's move on to one of the other storylines.
Let's move on to Jim and Dwight planning Kelly's birthday party. One of I guess, it's hard to remember that this is in lecture circuit for me.
And they stretched this out over two episodes.
They stretched it out over two episodes, yeah.
It's such a small thing, but they really get a lot of mileage out of it.
But, I mean, just want to say, I mean, the It Is Your Birthday banner is one of the most iconic things from The Office.
Definitely.
I love 100%. Sending that photo to people on their birthday. And they love it too, I'm sure.
I think one of the reasons that I really like seasons 5 and 6 so much, and maybe it's a little less 6, but season 5 for sure, is like so many of the moments seem to blend together. Like, I think it's all at its consistent level of quality in season 5, and so a lot of it, those moments and those ABC storylines blur together in terms of which episode they occur in. I also really love this episode because of the way that it groups up the different characters. It reminds me a little bit of Traveling Salesman, where they split everyone in pairs or a little bit of a larger group with the accountants and Meredith. But I do love that you put Jim and Dwight together and you have them work on a mission together. That's always a fun dynamic when they're like interrupting each other in the talking head. And
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we did a party planning committee episode. So this is and it goes through several changes. And this is the time when it's Jim and Dwight.
Yeah, and this is
this
like
in the Christmas party.
That's a good point, Edwin. Like when you take Pam and Michael out of this office, it does feel like we're watching two separate webisodes and then a main story. Like the whole Angela's cat thing feels like a webisode, and the Jim and Dwight having to do a birthday, same thing. But both of them are great. Like, well, the Angela one's a little weird, but we'll get to that. But the Jim and Dwight doing the birthday is just like this. It's so funny. It's just the perfect those two personalities having to do a party for Kelly, who should be the most colorful, brightly lit party they ever do. Mm-hmm. They're the perfect two people to put in charge of that.
Not to mention reasons. they're assigned a task by Michael, but Pam isn't there so that Jim has no one to try to make laugh, really. Mm-hmm. And Dwight has been given a task, so he's going to focus on that instead of his normal sales. So they're being like directed into this task with not a lot of relief. So much of their energy goes back at each other. And they're both just so inept at this particular task for this, especially for Kelly.
And
like Kelly,
except
Kelly,
for the sign that Dwight makes about pushing the party back. That's only realistic thing, but it's like the worst thing to put all that effort in for. It's so funny.
I love how much it stresses Jim out. I think that's a great point, Edwin, that like there's no one there that Jim can make laugh. And so he has to take this seriously and it is, I just love that part when he comes in and is like critiquing the balloons. He's like, these fit in the palm of my hand. You didn't blow them up enough. It is your birthday period. and then he hasn't been able to collect any money.
That's the same amount you and I contributed.
Yeah.
Creed pulls out the $3 bill.
That's another great. That's damn it, Jim. There's a few of those across the series. That's one of the better ones.
I'm just thinking more about Edwin saying that these feel like webisodes. Like there is no crossover. Like Andy's whole storyline with the client and Stanley, all that happens in the break room or in the parking lot, and so. And whereas Jim and Dwight are up in the conference room, the kitchen, and Kelly's nook, but it's amazing how it's like we never see the other thing going on.
I do love too with Andy and Stanley, another grouping, I guess, that like there's that moment where Stanley says, "We're not friends. I didn't think of it," and Andy says, "We are friends, Stanley. We're friends." The perfect clear encapsulation of the way the two of them see the rest of the office, not just each other, but
Andy Stanley, says that later, Stanley does, right? Where he's like, "You guys are my best friends," Phyllis or something. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
Stanley does also contribute to the other storyline though, when Jim does the like, "You spend all that time on a sign, we could just announce, hey everyone, party's at 3. I know, I saw it on the sign. Shout out also to. When Dwight goes, "You have to write down my suggestions too. I'm not writing horse hunt. I don't even know what that means." It's in the name. Just a great, great bit.
I want to read their list of the ideal party. So, okay, please. So far our ideal party consists of beer, fights to the death, cupcakes, blood pudding, blood, touch what? Football, mating, charades, and yes, horse hunting.
Mating. You're right,
and horse hunting. It's stupid. Oh, mating and blood.
Reminds me a little bit of Dwight's 100 person Olympic event.
And Dwight describes his only birthday as he sees it.
Yeah.
His actual birthday.
We get Dwight looking at Kelly's file and learning about her past. She did a Thelma and Louise type thing, except with a boat when she was 14. After seeing Thelma and Louise recently for the first time, I really want to know what that means.
I can see it, though. I can totally see, like, 14-year-old rebellious Kelly just like, I'm getting out of here.
Yeah.
And
did she have a gun?
It was a Beaumont Adams. I do love, too, that Kelly comes in at, like, 11. Screw you.
Yeah.
Screw you too.
Screw you, Beet Farmer. Yeah. And she's like that the whole way up until the very end where she's like, "I love it."
And I do.
And the line about, we're talking about that brief moment of self-awareness. "Well, I'm glad at least it happened to me because I can bear it." Had me in the first half, not going to lie. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh gosh. Yeah, I love that she gets to choose between watching TV or taking a nap, and she picks taking a nap but is too excited to sleep.
Yeah.
I've always thought, hey, if you picked TV, you could still take a nap if you wanted to.
You true. Could, but they vetoed half an hour of each.
That's right.
As Kevin suggests.
What is, does he come in with an air horn or something at the end? I
can't. Trash cans.
Trash cans.
Trash cans. Yeah, yes. Trash cans and a slap on the ass.
Many happy returns. Question to you guys, TV or nap, if you're in the middle of a work day?
TV, because you could still nap. You could turn down the volume and still take a nap if you want.
That's what you think until Dwight comes in with his trash can lids. I would also take TV. I think it'd be too hard to go to sleep.
No. Yeah.
I take nap. I take naps during the work day anyway. So I'll just
do you curl up under your desk?
I'll just continue to do that.
That's a Michael thing where it's like naps. Then hey, wait, where did the day go? Pretty soon you wake up, it's dark outside. That's the gym as co-manager. You mean on the weekends, right?
Mm-hmm. Boys, before you go into the next sections, I'm going to have to jump off here.
Okay. All right.
And take off. But gentlemen, it's been a pleasure. Doing this from the road. This is my second one from the road. I did one,
yeah,
like a year and a half ago from Reading. And I think we did Threat Level Midnight for that one. But next time someone travels, we'll keep these travel episodes in the bag. But this was a pleasure.
See it. Nice seeing you, bud.
Take care.
Bye, guys. Have fun with trivia and everything else that's happening. I don't know.
Oh, we will. Well, I mean, was there anything else you wanted to talk about, Jim and Dwight, before we move on to Andy and Angela?
I mean, I'm sure there is, but let's wrap it up with this. That scene with the two of them at the end eating the cake.
Yeah.
I love that there's that. And then there's the one in, I think it's After Hours, where they're just sitting eating dessert together.
Mm-hmm.
The That's little right. two shot of them.
Yeah. I love it. Yeah. This is one of, I mean, we've talked about Jim and Dwight before and talked about how their friendship really seems earned by the end of season 9. And I think it's episodes like this that are big stepping stones. We really get to see them struggle through something and it all works out in the end.
Well, and you know what else? Like, so much of the Jim Dwight dynamic is like Jim pranks Dwight in this episode and then Dwight pranks Jim back in this episode or
right.
at the beginning of the episode and then Dwight does it at the end. I like that there's a bit of a repartee back and forth with them finding things to criticize the other for throughout this. But yes, yeah. Let's move on.
So Andy catches Stanley talking to a client in the break room and becomes infatuated with her. He kind of like is offended that Stanley doesn't introduce him to an angel, brings an angel like that into the office and doesn't even introduce him. And then they agree that Andy is going to give one of his clients or
I think it's two clients.
Yeah. And then we get, Andy, before that, Andy spies into her car to see what she's been listening to. He sees a Feist CD and that's where we get 1, 2, 3, 4 coffees in your Splenda, Stanley, for you, because I don't know how you take it.
4 Splendas, you crazy.
It's just how the song goes. But yeah, I mean, overall, this is some pretty like creepy behavior from Andy. We have recently talked about Jim and Pam or we recently did a Jim episode and talked about, is it questionable how Jim approaches Pam at the end of Casino Night? And we did get some responses from you guys listening. So maybe we can talk about that another time. But what Andy is doing here is so much worse. And
Yeah.
I mean, and I don't know if we've mentioned it before as one of the cringiest moments on the show.
It's pretty bad. This is the Nard dog.
This is the Nard.
Yeah. He's just all over the place. I mean, it's one thing to be a hopeless romantic, but Andy is a hopeless romantic. the showdown between the Nard dog and crippling loneliness, depression and despair.
That's right.
It is funny too, that this, that this grouping of characters for like this storyline is by Desk Clump. I hadn't thought about that until just now. You kind of have Michael and Pam, Jim and Dwight, and then you get Phyllis, Stanley, Andy, and then you get the accountants plus Meredith and Creed.
That's right. That's right.
Toby's only thing is about wetting the bed when Michael has the intercom to be in the cold open to this episode.
That's right.
But yeah, it's kind of an Andy solo story, you know?
It is.
Which is kind of interesting that they pull him apart from the party planning and the Angela's Cat storyline. But yeah,
no kidding. Yeah, because of course this is post their breaking off their marriage. You know, this is why he's feeling particularly lonely. Mm-hmm. He just got through a bad breakup. But yeah, it is funny how like we get Andy in this episode and then Angela in the next, and never the two shall meet, I guess. But do you like this storyline for Andy? Was it important for him, for us to see him kind of crash and burn like this?
No, I mean, maybe there would be a funnier thing that, for him to do than go for the kiss.
Yeah.
You know, like, I wonder if there wouldn't be something funnier that he could do. Like, I don't know. I'm imagining him sending her a card like he did for Aaron, you know?
Yeah, right. Or, okay, like,
some sort of really silly, over-the-top Andy Bernard gesture.
He could have made a romantic gesture that is not as aggressive, that then leads to some big misunderstanding, and then it's all of a sudden like everything's even worse than it was before.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is instead just a real moment that feels real and is really cringe worthy.
I do like that she kind of is, she's like, I just got out of a relationship too. It's hard, you know, that she's there for him in that respect. And then his response is, do you want to go to a mall and talk about it?
No. We lost the client. Yeah.
Yeah. We lost. No kidding.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know if you have anything else to say on that, but we could jump to.
I know so much to cover in this episode. So let's not miss Angela getting a new cat. She's bought a $7,000 cat. We get some great lines from the ensemble here. Like, I love, Creed saying, I could get you a kid for that much money. Which no one reacts to.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite Meredith lines, seven grand. I got to see this little bitch.
and she says, she's right. I only had my second kid for the vacation.
Right. Which we've discussed before as where is that second kid, Meredith? Or is that her son that we meet?
No, I think they mentioned kids with Meredith a couple times.
I know.
Times. St. Patrick's Day, no kids. Meredith, where are your kids?
Yeah. Not
we just
today.
We just never see her, I think, on screen.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's fun to have that group together, to have an ensemble, Oscar and Kevin and Angela and Creed and Meredith all together. Mm-hmm. Like they're all in the break room, or they're all in the kitchen when Oscar walks in, looks over at Kevin eating two ice cream cones. Two. Yeah. Or I think it's one ice cream cone and a popsicle. I didn't eat all my lunch.
Yeah. And this is, I like that this is how we know Angela's in a good mood, because she comes in and it's like, ice cream. Nice, Kevin.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
I just, yeah. but yeah, I mean, it's this really is like a webisode. I mean, there's no Michael or Jim or Dwight. No one's around. This really could have just been, I wonder if it was a webisode idea. Ended up getting worked into an episode.
Even in a comedy show, it's a storyline with a lot of levity, you know, mm-hmm. with Michael and Holly and Pam, or maybe it's Michael and Pam, I guess, like that storyline is really, it's really consequential for Michael. They're getting closure in Utica and Nashua, and Angela is licking a new cat. So it's nice to have to balance that out.
Yeah.
With something that's so light as far as the episode goes, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And then I do like, Oscar and Kevin witness on the live cam, on the nanny cam, that Angela is licking her cats and stuff like that. But they give her the benefit of pretending that they didn't see it in the end. it's just too far,
I guess,
because we know that they would love to make fun of Angela for something, something strange that she does.
I love the Oscar, very simple lie of no. And then the Kevin over the top lie of I was looking at pictures of food on my computer. Very much speaks to their character. It's kind of like in season 9 when Kevin is trying to keep the secret.
Yeah.
About Oscar and the Senator. Reminds me of that quite a little bit. I do love a good Oscar-Kevin team up. That's my favorite.
Me too. Me too. Well, any final thoughts on Lecture Circuit?
I mean, the only thing that we didn't really touch on was the cold open.
Oh, yeah.
Michael's intercom, which I always love that when Michael has a new toy to kind of like joke with everyone in the office. I don't know if he kept up with being king of email forwards, but having the phone intercom, it was a nice mix. And then that it ends with Michael being able to talk to himself and be delighted with himself, but not everyone having to hear it is great. And it's 6'6" from the University of North Carolina.
Yeah. That's funny. Did I leave something in here? Oh, no. Yeah.
And we talk about those moments where everyone groans, where Michael calls his doctor and is talking about his skin.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's a great one.
I love the line from Jim that's like, the phone guy today showed Michael that, he can use his phone as an intercom. And then he just left.
That's a great one. Yeah. Such a good line. Yeah.
There it is, Lecture Circuit. A fabulous 2-part episode. And
all right, man, let's go apologize to Roy.
Let's do it.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Time for a little conference room.
That means conference room, 5 minutes. No, 5 seconds.
For conference room, I have a voicemail to play. Is there anything else? Should we just keep it like that?
I can talk a little bit about Jenna and Angela on
Yeah,
Conan.
Great. Because I didn't listen to it. That would be awesome.
Just a little. It's just a quick recommendation for people. So it's
great. Yeah, just in case you missed
and,
it.
And you know what? Like we actually talked about some. I'll save it. But yeah.
Okay, great. All right. So for today's conference room, we'll start with a voicemail that we received a few weeks back, actually. But I really wanted to play it for you guys. Here it is.
Hi, guys. My name is Iva. I'm calling from right outside Charlotte, North Carolina. First of all, love your podcast. I'm an educator, so I appreciate the depth of your analysis, particularly with character development and story arcs.
That's so nice.
But I'm calling today just to share something funny I saw online recently, and I thought you all might find it humorous too. It's regarding beets. And a couple of weeks ago, when the whole country was being hit with ice and snow, I read a statement from the Arkansas road maintenance crews saying they were going to keep their roads clear using a mixture of salt and beet juice. I found that hilarious, just thinking of what a bloody mess Arkansas must have looked like for a couple of days. Makes me laugh to think about. Maybe there's an office fan in the Arkansas Department of Transportation. Anyway, thanks again, guys, for all you do.
Thank you so much.
That was awesome. Thank you so much. Yeah.
That is hilarious. I don't know. I bet those Arkansas road maintenance crews were not able to get into their favorite jewelry store at the Steamtown Mall. I don't know how to make that joke.
Hey, I love the idea that Dwight could secretly be working, or not so secretly, but like as a side project, be working on something to de-ice roads.
Yeah.
using beet juice. I think that sounds like a much more viable option than his power drink made from beet runoff that looks a lot like blue Gatorade that he throws up all over Angela.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I could totally see Dwight being like, oh, well, things are going very well, actually. I've got a contract with the Arkansas Road Maintenance. They're using beet juice to de-ice their roads.
Or like Dwight leaning down to like lick his finger and touch the road and be like, oh, yeah. This is going to be good for business.
Business is booming.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, I just wanted to share that with you. Thank you so much for calling, Eva. That's hilarious.
That's awesome. Yeah. Thank you so much for that. That's amazing. I guess there's one additional conference room segment I wanted to talk about. Angela Kinsey and Jenna Fisher on the Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend podcast that drops this Monday. They're the guests on the Conan show. I imagine that a lot of our listeners listen to that show already, but if you haven't listened to it, I highly recommend it. I think they did a really good job of talking about The Office, and it was interesting to get Conan's point of view, especially considering that so many people from The Office interned on Conan. Angela did, John Krasinski did as well. And then they had a really good point about, you know, I thought of this when we were talking earlier in this episode about the different lenses and the way they shot characters in cars. And they talked, Angela, Jenna, and Conan talked about how the documentary format kind of allowed them to show character moments in different ways. That, like, a lot of times when you're filming and you want to show a character's reaction, you would go tighter in on their face. Mm-hmm. But what they would actually do is they would pull back so that you get kind of this wider view. And then those moments and those reactions seem more candid and more real and less staged or acted, I guess. It was just a really interesting way to think about the show.
Oh, wow. Okay. I'll look for that now. Yeah.
Yeah. And obviously, it's really funny. Highly recommend it if you haven't listened to that already.
Absolutely. Yeah. I do have an actually corner.
I'll hit it.
Sharon from Louisville, Kentucky reached out and called us out. We were saying, we had an idea for a spinoff show of Meredith's to have a drinking travel show.
I remember this.
We said Jack Daniel's Distillery in Kentucky. It is in Tennessee. Thank you for catching that. We know that. So, yes. Thanks for catching that.
Impulsivity and attention to detail.
For sure. I just want you all to know who have called and left voicemails for us. We'll do another voicemail episode soon. We were going to try to do it this week, but with Alex being on the road, it was not possible. I just want to say thank you so much to everyone who calls us. And if you don't hear your message on the show, we still listen to it and appreciate it. And I know sometimes people just call us to leave us messages because they just want to talk and they don't, it's not necessarily to play that message on the show. Always do that. You can always call and just leave us a message just because you feel like it. I think it's great. We do listen to them. So they do get heard even if they don't get responded to. So I just want to say shouts out to everyone who sends us some really, really nice messages. I just want to say thank you. And we'll be having a voicemail episode coming up soon. So please call us and leave us some. It is great when you can keep it under a minute that you have a better chance of it getting played on the show, just so you know. Okay, cool. Any other conference room items? Move on to...
No, now that we've apologized to Roy, let's apologize to Tony.
Yeah, love it. All right, time for some trivia.
Let's just do our thing, collect our hardware, and get the hell home.
All right, so this trivia this week comes from Naomi. And this trivia is dedicated to Abby on her very first birthday. So happy birthday, Abby.
Happy birthday, Abby.
And thank you so much, Naomi, for putting this together. Okay.
It is her birthday.
It is her birthday,
period. It's a statement of fact.
All right. Question one. How much does Pam weigh before going to Pratt?
126 pounds.
Yes, that's correct. Unless you ask Kevin, who calculated 226 pounds.
Almost, Kevin.
Almost, Kevin. No, not almost. What is the name of security guard Hank's CD that we see in Crime Aid?
It's not Me in the Blues. That's the name of the
song. That's the song, yep. It's so close to that.
What is it? What is it?
Hank Doyle is the Blues.
That's awesome. Okay.
What birthday is Helene celebrating when out to dinner with Jim and Pam and Michael?
49?
49th, 9 years in a row.
Yeah.
So she's actually 58.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay, yes.
Question four. According to Dwight and Angela's baby-making contract, what are the acceptable agreed-upon names for the child?
Okay. Jedediah.
Yes.
Jebediah.
Yes.
Honus.
Yes.
Worf. No Star Trek.
Yeah, Worf was rejected by Angela because no Star Trek names. And this is amazing.
There's one more?
Yeah, there's one more. You did very good.
What is that? I don't know.
Ebenezer.
Ebenezer, of course.
Ebenezer Shrewd.
Yeah.
Has a nice ring to it. Okay. Okay. What is written on the blue desktop background wallpaper of the Dunder Mifflin employees?
Oh, it says like, it's like Dunder Mifflin Network Portal, and it has a bunch of buttons that don't look like they work. It's it like supposed to look like a website.
Yeah, yeah.
Desktop icons on it. I've thought about this.
Yeah, I haven't looked at it myself, but Naomi says it says Intra Office Digital Hub,
yeah,
Dunder Mifflin Incorporated. And then underneath, it has the following bullet points. Email, business, productivity, and reference.
So this is what I mean, where it's like, it looks like it's supposed to be a website where you click on things to like take you to different, like they were supposed to be links, but it's pretty clear whenever you look at their computers, it's just a desktop background and they have their files saved over the top. Like a Dear Michael letter, perhaps. Although I guess Holly's background is different.
Ah, gotcha, gotcha. Okay, cool. Okay. I'll just do one more question here. What four facts does Michael learn about Holly when she first starts working in Scranton?
We've done this one before.
I think we have done this one before.
She's read Lonesome Dove three times.
Nice.
She's allergic to sesame seeds.
Yep. She broke her left leg twice in one year.
Yeah, okay.
It was, and then finally, you know the last one.
Oh, her butt refuses to quit.
Her butt refuses to quit. All right, awesome. Thank you so much, Naomi. That was great trivia. Happy birthday again to Abby. Send us your trivia if you would like, mspodcastcompany@gmail.com. You can also call us, 503-694-9314. As I said, we'll probably have a voicemail episode coming up soon. Let's get those in. Facebook and Instagram, Michael Scott Podcast Company. We have a website, michaelscottpod.com. And we're on Patreon, patreon.com/Michael Scott. You can become a Scott's Tot for $5 a month. You'll get a bonus mailbag episode every month. We'll have one coming up here in about a week. So you can join today and get your questions in there. Also, you know, we've heard from a lot of folks that they, you know, are all caught up on all these episodes that are out for free. There's more content on Patreon. So every month we also do a donation to Thurgood Marshall College Fund with those contributions. So thank you so much to our Patreon members for supporting the show.
Shout out.
And thanks to Ryan Lloyd, who helps us with our social media, designs all our artwork. This episode was recorded in Portland, Oregon over video chat.
Thank you for listening. We were just talking even in the moments in between the different segments, how amazing it is to hear from everyone and how like those messages help us keep going with the show. Like it really means a lot to us. And I know we say it every week, but we really do mean it. And it's really amazing. So thank you really and truly for hanging out with us. Just remember the real surprise is ice cream sandwiches. And there's always a theme.
Pippity poppity, give me the zoppity.
Yes, sir.
That's a little funny. Maybe Alex.
All right, let's do it again. Okay.
Okay.
Pippity poppity, give me the zoppity.
Yes, sir.
Oh, I left you hanging.
Sorry.
I pump faked you. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices?
And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.